Jed, are you there? I miss your voice. I miss your voice. It's been so long.
I am here. Has it been so long?
It's been a long
When was the last
time.
time we recorded?
Oh, I think it was a year or so ago. It seems like it.
Well, I'm just glad that, we're going to catch everything up now. We're going to catch up to speed. You've been traveling around the world. You're in Peru,
Yeah,
right?
exciting.
I'm in exotic Los Angeles.
So, how's everything in the States?
Well, you're
Have I
going to be
missed
surprised to
anything?
hear this. You're going to be surprised to hear this, John. The politics that are going on are crazy.
Is it
Yeah.
everything settled down back to the
No,
normal?
you know what? Things are actually getting weirder.
Oh.
Like, yeah, no. So what's happening? It's pretty cool. So the entire country is being split in half,
Wow.
and a civil war is coming. Though some are calling it a civil cold war, which I think is a
Oh.
very clever thing for the media to come up with. And the thing is, no matter what happens, CNN's ratings keep going down, which I think is fascinating because they're the ones who are the biggest, antagonizers of the country. But I think people are just turning off, John. I think what's going to happen is I think they're trying to drive the country apart, and it's just going to wind up driving everyone together in peace and love. And I'm sorry, I can't do it anymore. Yeah, no, it's all a mess, John. You're lucky to not be here.
Well, the things that I have to deal with is getting food poisoning. So that's happened
Okay.
three times during the year. I guess they don't wash their food or they have tainted substances here and there.
Right.
So
Also,
that's a fun thing.
your digestive system is not used to the bacteria that are in those regions that you're
Correct.
in, and
Correct. And
that
that's.
creates a problem.
It absolutely does. And that's something that, people who travel, they, oh, Montezuma's Revenge and, in Mexico and traveler's diarrhea. It's really a matter of
Yeah.
you're in an area where you're not used to the bacteria. I could eat the
Yeah.
same thing that somebody else that's a local eats and it doesn't affect them at all, but it affects me. And
Yeah,
it's just a
this is the
matter of,
science corner on foul
it
territory.
is. Yeah, it is. So it's just one of the,
Wait.
one of, you know, it's something I'm willing to deal with
Yeah.
for the lifestyle that we're living.
Now, are you staying hydrated, John? Because when you get the squirts, it dehydrates.
Yeah.
Okay.
The other day I spent a good portion of the morning from 4 a.m. till about 7:30. It was great. Good times. I actually have my full glass of water right here, a little H2O to kick off my day.
That is excellent. It's been pretty
Refreshing.
dry here in Los Angeles, so I know what you mean, except for the squirts part.
So this is episode 109 of Foul Territory. I'm John Sumple. He's Jed Rigney.
I am Jed Rigney.
And this is the jerk episode of Foul Territory.
Interesting.
The Jerk is the number nine film on IMDb's, one of IMDb's many lists of top comedies of all time. A
Perfect for us.
classic. Yeah, it
Perfect for
is.
us because we haven't recorded in a month, so we both are a couple of jerks.
Yeah, and I have to like, I bear the brunt of that because of travel and commitments to my film project, which has been just total time consuming. If anybody wants to hear my voice not talking to Jed, just Google my name, and we've been doing a lot of radio shows for the promotion of our film, The Ex Extraordinary, The Seating, which comes out on September 3rd. So I'm a little shameless plug. Just go to your favorite digital movie platform, and not the content providers, but digital downloads, pay-per-view stuff. So iTunes, Google Play, all those things. So yeah.
And as I've mentioned before, this is an extremely fascinating look at the UFO world and the people that are involved in it, not just the aliens and
Phenomena.
spacecrafts.
Yeah,
And
yeah.
yeah, it's really like the people who've been affected by this, for better or for worse, and sometimes for worse in many ways. And again, I always compliment you about this, but the way that you present it in sort of a, here's the information, here's a lot of information, and you process it the way that you want to process it, I just think is such an excellent way to go, because then it allows people who are not, you know, devout UFO people to watch it and not feel like they're being preached to. They're just being presented with this information, and it just comes across so interestingly, and these people are so interesting, and it's very well done. And it's not just me that thinks that. It's won lots of awards, and it's going to keep doing really well, I think. It's a really unique perspective of this whole phenomenon that people just haven't, that really know, they don't, you hear about it a little bit, but then it's sort of like, here's like an in-depth look at it. Anyway, this is not a baseball thing, but anyway, you should watch it if you haven't seen it at home or at work. You know, if your work gets slow, fire it up.
Right. But one thing I'm just going to say, you know, this was a kind of a really awesome moment for us. We shared a screener with Whitley Strieber, who's been an experiencer and author of amazing books, including the one that kind of made him more famous than any of the other ones, was Communion. But he's a horror fiction and sci-fi fiction author. And he watched the film, and in his you know, short review, mini review, was, finally somebody gets it right, an intelligent searching exploration of the alien abduction mystery. That was a pretty high right. endorsement, so we were like thrilled nice. About that. Yeah.
As Andy Samberg, as Nicolas Cage said on Saturday Night Live, that's high praise. Sorry.
That's awesome.
I have these little video bits that pop into my head every now and then, and that's all right.
I'm glad I can trigger some of those, because they always make me laugh. Yes. So let's move on. Let's move on to the purpose of our existence on this podcast, which is baseball. There's a lot of baseball happening, and I have not been privy to a lot of it because I've been busy, and you know, have to have reliable Wi-Fi to watch a game. You know, every now and then, when I try, I'll be about, you know, 15 minutes into it, and then it starts getting, you know, disconnected or lagging, and I get frustrated and stop. So, so much to cover, so much is going on. We are actually in pennant fever time. You know, the races are heating up, and there's some really, really awesome races. The National League wild card is going to be probably down to the last minute. You know, so we've got like 6-7 teams fighting for 3 spots. And we've got, you know, it's all pretty much all said and done in the American League, say, for, you know, two teams really battling out for the final spot. Well, no, now I guess it's 3 now. The Red Sox, I thought they were going to be there for a second. They had that 4 or 5 game winning streak, and then I think they've now lost 3 in a row or something like that. And then Chris Sale's done for the year, and that pretty much puts an end to the season for them. Which must be a little bit frustrating.
I think with their salary cap thing, I will say they won a World Series, so I've just been enjoying the year.
Yeah,
you know,
like, yeah, it's been great. You can't complain.
They won the World Series last year, and like, there are teams that are playing right now that have never been to the World Series. There are teams playing right now that have never won the World Series. They just won last year, the fourth time in the last 16 years.
Yeah,
it's all good. Like, if they don't make the playoffs this year, like, obviously with the start that they had and the starting pitching problems that they've had and then the bullpen problems that they've had. Now, the bullpen is sort of evened out, but then David Price gets injured. Chris Sale's out for the year, almost out for, it looked like, a year and a half with Tommy John, but it looks like they're going to be able to skip that.
Big exhale.
But like, they knew going into the year that they were going to come in shorthanded, and they were not going to restock. They don't have a farm system that's going to develop anyone. They don't have a farm system to trade anyone. And what they do have is their money resources, but they knew that if they went over the salary cap, well, whatever, the luxury tax, that it would cost them tens of millions of dollars for years. But if they just stayed under this year, and just kind of bit the bullet and tried to, you know, get the magic back with everyone. But like, Pedroia didn't come back. And Steve Pierce was a complete bust. Season. And Nate Eovaldi was a waste of money. And, you know, like, how should they have spent their money? How cool? It doesn't matter. They stayed under the cap. That was their goal. And like, if they had gone over the cap, not only would they be spending money, they'd actually be losing draft picks. Mm-hmm. And for a farm system that it does not exist and is in the bottom five or bottom 10 of everyone's rankings, it was the move they had to do. And you know what? They won the World Series last year, so who cares?
Yeah.
Let someone else have a shot at it.
Right. I like that.
But yeah, they're toast now. They're toast now. They're toast.
So I think one of the interesting stories, you know, so far, really, and we'll get into headlines in a minute, is when you look at the, you know, if you look at wins and losses, you'd be like, wow, it looks like it's going to be, you know, the Yankees, the Astros, or the Dodgers. They're pretty much dominating. But when you look at, you know, the underlying, you know, statistics, you know, that how they got there, the Yankees really probably will not get very far because their pitching is horrendous. Their starting pitching is just not good, but they pile on the runs in every game. So, you know, their win loss record,
and
when you look
again,
at it,
this,
like, oh,
I know
this
I'm a Red
dominating.
Sox fan, so it's a little biased. But it does seem like a team that is depending on Brett Gardner, Mike Tauchman, and Gio Urshela to continue to be above average players is, because they're like, those guys are hitting far better than anyone ever thought that they would. These were people taken off the scrap heap by the Yankees and just got plugged in, and there they are, banging away, all-star level. I mean, almost like, you know, first team, if there was a first team all baseball, whatever, like Gio Urshela, like, this is a guy that the Indians absolutely could have used. Great defensive player, no bat. But for the Yankees, batting over 300, does it all fall apart? Yes. Does it all fall apart this season? Maybe, maybe not. That's the big question. But they do seem the most fragile of those three dominant teams.
Yeah.
And you got to throw the Indians in there too, because I think with their trade at the All-Star break or you know, at the trade deadline, I think that trade really, and how well their pitching's going, and Carrasco's coming and he's going to do a little bit, and Kluber's coming and like, I think the Indians, well, maybe the Indians and the Braves are sort of in that next second tier right underneath those other three.
Yeah, I would agree with that. The Twins have had a survivor mentality. They had a little bit of a funk after the All-Star break, but they've been able to maintain. They're still holding their lead. Cleveland tied them at one point, but never passed them. The Twins have kind of held it on. They're still hitting.
They got swept by the Mets,
And the Mets, what about those Mets? Best record since the All-Star break, right?
Best record since the All-Star break. Can they keep it up? Probably not. It's the Mets. You got to get used to failure if you're the Mets. Well, so
I can picture, though, if the Mets make the wild card game, that Brody Van Wagenen comes out with both birds flying to the whole media saying,
I mean,
you know, screw you guys.
There was a bold move, but what he did at the All-Star break, and I don't know whether he was factoring in that they basically were going to be playing all the worst teams in baseball coming out of the All-Star break, but not making trading away players at the trade deadline, I still disagree with it because I think it's fundamentally wrong, because this team is just, it's good, but it's been beating up on really bad teams. Mm-hmm. And yes, they did just sweep the Indians, because of course anyone can sweep anyone.
Right.
But I mean, they won all those games and then they lost, you know, 7 out of 10 or whatever. So like, it's baseball.
Yeah.
It's baseball. You got to really see your team. And then, you know, they lost, Cano's gone, and
Like, what I always like about this time of year, though, too, is that you're going to get that one team that you weren't expecting to go on a big run. Yeah. And
like the Rockies, right, John?
Yeah, the Rockies did, the Brewers last year. Who's going to do it this year? You know, who's going
to
be
I just
that
like
team?
Rubbing that Rockies thing in your face, John, just because that looked like such a bad team to me coming into the year. And you were like, no, they're going to the playoffs. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to shove this in your face all year. And here I am, given another opportunity to shove it in your face, and I'm shoving it in your face.
That was last year, man. Last year was when I was on the Rockies bandwagon.
John. The bandwagon continued, my friend.
And you were much
more enthusiastic about them last year. Yes, that's true.
Yeah, but I think we both thought that they were going to continue, because there was they didn't really have any additions, but, you know, we didn't think that they were going to kind of fall off a cliff. You know, Bud Black is a good manager, and, you know, it's getting something out of the pitching. But, yeah, is he a good manager?
That becomes the question. And I know we both liked him as a manager earlier in the year, but is he a good manager or is he a very good pitching coach?
Probably, you know, a really, really, really good pitching coach and a decent manager. I think he definitely gets a lot of votes for his ability to get the max out of it's all. I think the bigger thing there is the park that they play in and the fact that he's been able to, you know, get decent numbers out of players that no one was expecting. You know, Kyle Friedland last year, not so much this year, but last year.
Yes. Boy, if there was ever a player that looked like he was going to completely burn out and flop, Kyle Friedland, right? Like, I saw people taking him in fantasy drafts, and like, I think we in our league that you and I are in, someone traded for him. I was like, okay, as a keeper player, you're okay, a Colorado pitcher, okay,
Don't want to. Well, I went down the Marquez route.
I still love Marquez, man.
He brings the heat. I think, it's one of those things. He has really, really good games at home, and then he has, you know, some pretty big stinkers in there too. But, you know, it just,
I mean, I'll be honest with you. If I had Marquez on my fantasy baseball team, now we're in the fantasy baseball corner of this program. But if I had Marquez on my baseball team, my rule about Colorado pitching, about anyone pitching in Colorado, is if it's an absolute ace, I will pitch them. Mm-hmm. So Marquez is not an absolute ace. So I would only pitch him at home if he was playing the Marlins, the Padres, maybe. Mm-hmm. Like, only the bad hitting teams against right-handers. And then otherwise you just keep him on your bench and you play him on the road, and he's still worth having on your fantasy baseball team with his crazy strikeout numbers if you just play his road games. I know it's kind of, people get like, oh, I got to play him if he's on my team, but like, it's just, Colorado's just too dangerous.
Well, speaking of pitching and benching players on your fantasy team, are you going to ever let anybody know in our league, and in case you guys are listening, there is a limit to how many starts you can have. And we got a whole bunch of guys that are going to be done with their pitching statistics the first week of September.
I'm going to tell you this right now, John. I'm just going to let them figure it out for themselves. Everyone in this league knows the rules. They can, if they have to learn this way. We've tried warning them in the past, John. You and I both.
Mm-hmm. I did.
If they haven't learned by now,
exactly.
So what are we supposed to do? Hold their hands? They have to learn. They have to grow up. Fantasy baseball leagues. I will tell you a little trick about winning fantasy baseball leagues, because I'm very good at winning fantasy baseball leagues. I'm in line to win at least $2,000 this year.
Nice.
In my leagues. Yeah, it's. It's a little side business I've got going. That's you've been working on all these on your film stuff. I got a film coming up I'm working on in October, and I've been handling my fantasy baseball roster.
So that's your income for the year?
That's my income. That's basically. So here's the trick. Learn the rules of the league and find the way to maximize every aspect of the rules for yourself, whether it's games played by players, pitching, innings pitched, how to get around the loophole of how you get around innings pitched to maximize everything. You have to figure that out. That puts you 5% ahead of everyone else. Mm-hmm. And 5% in counting statistics, that's a big difference.
Yeah.
If you're talking about like 300 home runs, 5% of 300 home runs is what, 15 home runs?
Well, I've been looking at the numbers. I stand to gain about 6 points just once people hit their limits. So I'm kind of like, cool, you know, hit the limits. That'll move me up probably from. I think I can max out at seventh place. I should be able to do that, assuming I don't have nights like I did last night where, you know, my on base percentage was 215. I think 217, something like that. That was you know, just total killer when things like that happen. But I didn't drop too much. But, yeah, there's room to move when people are – I mean, that's one of the things I have been watching is the limits. And there's at least half of the teams in our league, or one in particular who's high in the standings, is going to hit that limit probably the first week of September. and it's going to be he will likely drop in the statistics as a result of that.
Right.
And he may move from, I'm not going to mention what position he's in, but he may move out of the money as a result of it.
Right.
Oops.
Yeah, there's a, it, just so people know, in our in this league that we have, no one really cares about our league, but sometimes people kind of care. We actually reward, if you finish, the higher you finish in the standings, the better your draft pick is the next year. So we do, instead of last to first, we do basically money is for first, second, and third, first, second, third, and fourth, and then 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, that's your draft order. Mm-hmm. Number 5 gets the first pick. So if you can move up in the standings, and for the minor league draft, it can be a big difference. Sure. Between the number 3 pick last year, I think, was Pete Alonso.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
not, in the minor league draft.
Yeah,
and I think the number 7 was somebody that probably won't play for another couple of years and might mm-hmm. not be that good. Like mm-hmm. it's a big difference, those top 3 picks. So if you can get up there, it's worth it.
I'm really excited.
But again, learn the rules of your league and maximize every aspect. Like, John, you've done a great job. Your next year's team is
a
legitimate contender for at least second place. And with the monopoly rules I'm going to impose in the offseason on myself, because my team is just too amazing, you actually have a shot at first place.
Yeah, just to watch these, and again, you know, the injury thing is just to watch the guys that have come up this year. All of them have delivered. All of them.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, you know, part of me was at one point, it was like, wow, what if I activated them when, you know, they came up? You know, I would have lost them as the bonus keeper, but I might be in the money this year. And then I was like, you know what? You know, that's just silly talk, you know, because I will likely have like 17 keepers into next season. And then I can, you know, look at, you know, just pick and choose where I want to spend money, which is good. Yeah, really excited about the 2020 season.
Listeners, John did the Astros move last year. He sold everything. Everything that had any value, he sold it for prospects. And then even the offseason, I think you traded Tommy Pham for Yordan Alvarez.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Very good trade at the time. Now lopsided in your favor.
Yeah. Yeah, and you never know.
You get a super cheap Yordan Alvarez. Oh, no, of course, you never know, because it could be,
the way around.
Somebody falls apart. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's jump into headlines. Tell me about this one, because I don't know this one. The Red Sox had a game that they started on August 7th.
Yes.
And didn't finish it until August 27th. Was it a weather, inclement weather type of thing?
Right. So what happened was, it took them 15 days to finish this game. And I know sometimes baseball games seem long. But, okay, so they played on August 7th, Royals versus Red Sox. They played, it got to the 10th inning, and they had to stop the game for weather. And then it was so late, they had to postpone the game because it was tied, right? Mm-hmm. Hence the extra innings.
Sure.
But the next day, both teams were not available to play each other, so they had to reschedule it for this off day. So they reschedule it I think it was yesterday, right? Yeah, Thursday. And it was basically like $5 for adults to get in. Kids get in free for this little makeup game or finish game or whatever. And then the Red Sox win it after only 12 minutes. They win it in the bottom of the 10th.
Wasn't even worth the effort to go, I guess, huh?
It was a bit odd. Like, you would think,
I
think people were like, yeah, I would rather have it be like a 3 or 4 inning type deal. But it is the Royals, you know, and the Red Sox offense is quite potent.
Yeah, to me, I'd be like, I wouldn't even attempt to go to that. I'll catch that on TV because it's the Royals.
Yeah, but you know, it's a nice day out, John.
Yeah. So this next story, I think, is an interesting one, because it's one of those things where when the word gets out that something like this has been going on, you find out it's been going on for a long time, and then it's kind of like, oh, this is a news item, and then it's not, because it's a dead in the water thing.
Right.
So the Diamondbacks apparently had been talking with the town leaders, city leaders in Henderson, Nevada, which is like, I think, 10, 15 miles due east of Las Vegas. And it was like, oh, wow, well, you know, this is some sort of a big deal. But the news is like, it's not really a big deal because it's dead.
Yeah.
So it kind of
It's percolated. One of those things where, like, it leaked out because it was dead.
Right, yeah. So it's like, nothing
kind
to
of
see.
Kind of like a
Move
Jeffrey
along.
Epstein kind of a thing. Too soon?
Too soon. Too soon.
So you've heard about Jeffrey Epstein down there in Peru?
I've heard all of the conspiracy theories, you know.
Have you?
Yeah, I've heard.
Are there conspiracy theories?
Oh, my God, just a few, right?
There are conspiracy theories being shared by the mainstream media. That's how out of just complete whack this situation is with Jeffrey Epstein.
Within seconds of announced that he died, that there was something afoul. Foul play at hand. And that whole idea that is like he signed his will 2 days before suicide, quote unquote suicide.
Right.
And the Clintons offed him. You know, the Clintons have a very long reach. You know, they can go into the penal system and take somebody out. It's just crazy when we've gotten to this point where we're political. It's no longer political opinion. It's a political vitriol on both sides of the table. It's just, it's ridiculous. And I do, unfortunately.
Right, except the Clintons did have him killed, right? So.
Who knows? You know, we live in a world where aliens are abducting people while they're sleeping and having children with them. So, you know, anything's possible. You know,
look, it does seem like something went afoul, right? Yeah, like he was supposed to be being watched and he was supposed to not be left alone. And he was. Now, is that incompetence? I mean, there's prison guards. I don't know. There's a guy taking a nap there. Yeah. I hear. And like, I don't know. Doesn't that just sound like more like what actual people do?
Yeah. Well, like
as opposed to like this whole thing where like they coordinated this whole, you know, Kaiser Soze type situation right. where they manipulated right. everyone into, I don't know.
There will Someone be a movie down the road.
Yeah.
When things settle down. Yeah. But, you know,
well,
as long as we
film,
have.
John.
Yeah, well, it could be. But as long as we have a president who's the chosen one, we should feel comfortable and safe.
Look, I'm not saying he isn't the chosen one. I'm just saying it's weird for someone to proclaim that. It's weird for someone to proclaim that.
Yeah, and the rant that he went on the other day, I didn't see it. I read about it, and it just was like, he said all of that in 30 minutes? I mean, that is total, you know, verbal diarrhea. He's got
Montezuma's revenge of the mouth.
Yeah.
Maybe there's bacteria in Washington, D.C. that his body's not used to. Or maybe this is just how he's been his entire career. Did he become president?
Well,
I don't want any Republicans getting all up in arms that we're like anti-Republican. Yeah.
No, it's not.
It's not that. It's a game show host, guys.
It is a game show host. We've known that from the beginning. And one of the things that I always just kind of makes my eyes roll is that there's constant commentary about he's not going to change. It's like, really? Who thought he was going to change? Who really thought that Donald Trump was going to come into the White House and adhere to a structure that had been present for a long time? No, he's going to bend it more towards his liking, and he has. And he's been.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean,
I give him credit.
Obama turned being the president into being a celebrity.
Yeah, that everybody loved. That's, well, not everybody. Polarizing.
And look, everyone loved that version of the celebrity president.
Right.
But I'm just saying, like, Obama just bought a $15 million estate on Martha's Vineyard.
Yeah, it's the book deals.
I'm just saying, maybe the rising sea tides aren't as big a concern as we thought.
Oh, so he's like, yeah, I'm okay with Martha's Vineyard. It's not going to be underwater anytime soon.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Oh, that's.
And look, I don't think any politician should be popular. I don't think that anyone should be a famous politician. I think they should be politicians. Right. They're all liars.
Being the nicest guy in the room doesn't
necessarily
make you.
And you just want them to be less liary and less corrupt.
Right. Get shit done. That's what I think
exactly.
is the most important thing. Yeah.
And the problem is Trump has gotten some shit done, but then he also steps in all the other shit. And like, what are you doing? You're just covered in shit, man. Pardon my language, by the way. Normally I do use poop or poo holes. This is a baseball podcast.
It is a baseball podcast. Let's get back to the baseball. So, this was a great story. I did hear about this, that the A's wound up signing a fan to a minor league deal that was whistling the ball at 95 miles an hour at a one of those radar guns that they have at the park for, you know, fans to walk up to and throw at. That's pretty crazy.
And he has played, and I think he had one good outing and one bad outing. But I will say, John, I did that. I hadn't played baseball since early high school, and I went to one of those things, and I'm going to be honest with you, I topped out at about 58 miles an hour.
So no one was talking to you after you got.
No one was signing me, John.
I've heard this thing about the Phillies fanatic. I really don't understand. This guy has been, or the fanatic has been, a Phillies mascot for what, 40 years, and now there's a lawsuit.
Yeah.
What are the details?
So the owners of the mascot. So for every mascot, someone had to create it. And back in the day, when you did something like that, you didn't necessarily sign all the necessary contracts for the intellectual property to release, you know, in perpetuity, blah, 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 right? And so apparently the creators of the mascot realized that they actually owned this commodity and have been trying to get more money out of the Phillies. Mm-hmm. And the Phillies have been claiming that it's also their ownership, and the owners of the who came up with it, which is funny for someone to admit that. But anyway, that they're talking about, oh, we'll take them to another team. And I was just like, well, what other team? What other team is going to want the Philly Fanatic?
The XFL? I don't know. Well, it's like Ted Giannoulis back in the day in the 70s with the San Diego Chicken.
Yeah.
He had to drop the San Diego and just be the Chicken because, you know, he...
Yeah.
He became
the
a rock
Diego
star.
Was made it work.
Yeah, yeah. The San Diego. You can't just say the Chicken because that sounds weird. But the San Diego Chicken. He had to change the colors of the costume thing. But you know that. And I remember there was a big. I think there was even a HBO or a ESPN documentary on the mask, the Chicken, which is a pretty cool accomplishment. But yeah, it's like it's and nobody you know shed a tear. Well, maybe they did in the moment, but it's folklore. And it, to me, at the end of the day, it's like if I'm the Phillies, I'm like, yeah, you know, fine. We enjoyed your stay while you did your thing. We'll develop our own moving forward. And within 2 or 3 years, people would love the new mascot. Who cares?
Right. What's the guy they have now? Gritty or
I don't
or
know.
The Flyers have a guy. It's like looks like a. Nightmare Guillermo del Toro mascot.
Oh, great.
The Shape of Water.
Nice. Yeah, just come up with something new.
Yeah.
No big deal.
Yeah. I mean, if it's going to cost you money, who cares?
Right.
Yeah.
So the Mets, best record in baseball since the All-Star break. Is it going to last?
Now, John, I'm going to be honest with you. I put that note in there about 3 weeks ago when I thought we were going to record 3 weeks ago. I don't know if they actually still have the best record since the All-Star break.
Oh.
But they've been doing great, which we discussed previously.
Yeah, and they're only a game and a half out of the wild card spot, so kudos to
that wild card is so bizarre. I love that there's the two wild card teams, but the wild card in the National League has been so odd where like just no one will just take it. And run away with it. Like be good. Like there's these three good teams in the National League, and then it's like
it's kind of like the president's like
all
race
of these
to the bratwurst
teams.
Race. You know, someone's leading. You know, when you go to the games and you see those jet boats that races, that one's in the lead and then one's losing, and that's what it feels like with that. And it's like, oh, look at that, the Cardinals finished in first. Who knew? And then the next time, it's, oh no, the Brewers. Oh no, the Mets. It's one of those things. But then you have over in the American League, you have two good teams in the A's and the Rays. One of those teams isn't going to make it,
right?
You know, and they're two really really good teams. And then you're going to have over in the National League. It's changing daily. You know, someone has a 3-game losing streak and all of a sudden everybody's back in play. It makes for interesting, you know, it keeps a lot of fans interested in of those teams. That's for sure. But how about those Giants though? Do you feel like there's any hope for them? Do they have a chance? Do you think
as a Dodger fan, I think I love exactly where the Giants are because they're not bad enough to get a really good draft pick next year. And they're not good enough to make the playoffs.
So yeah,
and they were too close to the playoffs to trade off their players to get valuable farm pieces.
Which they should have done. Yeah.
Which they should have done. And they're basically going to, like, the Padres and the Dodgers will own this division for the next 3 or 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And the Giants and the Rockies and the Diamondbacks will be around. They're going to be respectable. But the Padres farm system, even with calling up everyone they've already called up, is still the best farm system in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the Dodgers are top five. And that's amazing that they have a top five farm system. Have you heard about this Gavin Lux guy?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I remember when he was drafted and people were like, we don't even know he's going to be a utility guy. We don't even really know if he can stay at shortstop. He's like the best hitter in the minor leagues.
Mm-hmm.
He's 21 mm-hmm. or something, 20. It's crazy. Yeah. It's crazy. And he's like, next one up. He's going to be their starting second baseman.
Didn't they just bring up Carrot Top, too? Didn't the comedian's now pitching for the Dodgers?
Do you mean Ginger Guard? Dustin May?
Yes. Yeah.
First of all, you know it's not Carrot Top pitching because he doesn't have cocaine all over his nose.
Or plastic surgery.
Or plastic surgery and cheek implants and steroid use ripping muscles. Oh, maybe he did have some steroids. He's a pretty strong guy. But yeah, the big tell is the cocaine.
Yeah. But he's a phenom, right?
He's a phenom. He's a
the Dodgers
bit of a,
are deep.
He's
for
he's
sure.
a little bit less of a like Lux is like a guy who's just I don't want to say come out of nowhere, but he was a top 100 guy. Now he's a top 10 guy prospect. Like, and so I've seen some have him in the top five. Like he's that hot right now. He's that hot, John. He's super hot. And Dustin May looks like he's another. Yeah. I don't want to say Walker Buehler, but like in. Maybe a tier below Walker Buehler kind of a thing. Like, that's great. So then you see Kershaw starting to diminish, and just as he's starting to diminish, here comes another starting pitcher, you know?
Yeah, so. Diminishing into, like, the third best pitcher in the National League.
Right, exactly. You know what I mean? Like, he was, like, the best pitcher, like, of our generation.
Yeah, above everybody.
Like, the last 40 years.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then it's sort of like, all right, well.
He's a mere mortal now. Yeah.
Now he's
like, a mere immortal now.
Just really, really good.
Yeah. So do you have any concerns?
That Scherzer problem, though, where he gives up those cheap solo home runs for some reason.
Which is very odd to me because Scherzer is a fireballer, just rears back and throws it, you know, brings the heat.
Yeah.
Where Kershaw has been, what I think makes him such a dominant pitcher is, one, he's left-handed, and two, the fact that he has that such a funky delivery. That you can't see where the ball is coming from.
A lot of deception in there.
And the deception and the angles. And it is strange. I've seen some home runs that he's given up on pitches that don't look hittable to the normal person. It's like, wow, that just didn't look like he grooved it. But he has been giving up, you know, some of those, you know, those undesirable home runs in moments where you're kind of like, wow, where'd that come from?
Right.
But the I guess there is a little cause for concern. You know, Kenley Jansen blew up again, blew a save. They still won the game, which caused a little sit down, little talk, little discussion, vote of confidence. But I love that that Dave Roberts gave a vote of confidence. But if this continues, we'll have to have another conversation. So that's not really to me. That's kind of like a back-ended vote of confidence.
Yeah. Well, what's the conversation? Stop giving up the lead. Like he's doing what he can do. You know what I mean? Like he's not Kenley Jansen from 2 years ago. I think that Marwin Gonzalez home run broke him, and whether it was because of Marwin Gonzalez emotionally breaking him or just he just pitched too much that year on that 7-game World Series run that they did. And maybe what the smart move for them to do with him is like give him half a season off or at least a month and a month and a half off next year. Like, don't have him do spring training. Like, you don't need him to close games in April and May. You need him to close games in October.
Right. When it matters, right.
When it matters.
And they'll be, you know, they're it's like one of the team that races out to the big lead and they coast and they can coast. Not that they will, but because they're too good of a team. They don't even need to coast. But it's like when you have a deficiency in one area, you can overcome that very easily with the resources that they have available. It's not you know, all it does for somebody like him is create room for doubt. Room for doubt that, like, you know, what's wrong? And, you know, his response was like, I'm going to be there at the end. I vow to be better. Well, you know, he's doing his best. It's not like he's like, oh, yeah, I was kind of slacking off there for a while.
No, you know how many girls have told me that, John, then wound up taking off? Come on. We know Kenley. We know. We see what we're seeing.
Probably one of the worst stories of the year, in my opinion, is the Marlins, the Steve Irwin Twitter joke about the Rays.
Oh.
That was, who thinks that that would be appropriate? And it had to be one of those, I would hope it was one of those moments where they weren't like, oh, this is a good one. When they hit send, they were like, oh God, what did I just do? I hope that that is true, as opposed to saying, oh, this was a good zinger. It was awful. Awful. And I hope
here's the problem. Twitter is a cesspool, right?
It is.
And brands, including baseball teams, have gotten some notoriety from being kind of, I don't want to say edgelords because they're not like being that bad, but they get a little sassy out there, you know, get some snark going. Right. This was just a horrible misplay of snark and just like totally inappropriate, of course, because making fun of someone's death.
Right.
But then, like, it really just wasn't that funny. Like,
no,
it's one of those things where it was like funny in your head, like, you know what? But like, if you're gonna come, that's like when you're taking the piss out of someone, right? And you probably know this as well as most people who are generally funny, which you are, and I am, is when you're taking the piss out of someone, you don't go with the kill shot first.
No, you lead up to it.
And when you go, if you're going Steve Irwin, you need to escalate to that.
Right.
That needs to be a place where you get to where it's like, okay, now you've forced my hand. I must pull out the Steve Irwin joke. But they just sort of like, hey, we won the game. The Rays were like, we beat the Marlins. And they were like, well, you're the guys who killed Steve Irwin.
Right. It was that just abrupt and just immediately shocking. Immediate response to it was negative.
Yeah, and, like,
you
know,
you can't walk it back.
Let's slow down, Twitter people.
Yeah, can't walk
as the back. As the old saying goes, and it's not that old, pump the brakes, Billy Joel.
So another thing, too, that's going on is we've got four players who have hit the 40 home run mark earlier than we have since it's been, I think, several years. And we're on pace to break the all-time season home run record for both the team and for the league as a whole. Not going to get to 74 home runs this season by anybody individually, but the balls are flying out of the park. And Pedro Martinez is suggesting that it's a smaller ball. Is there any?
Right.
I mean, I'm sure there's been some measurements made. You can't just come out there and you know, throw that assumption out there if it's not true.
Well, hold on a second. It's Pedro Martinez.
This is exactly
what he would do.
I know.
This is exactly just a random idea that he would throw out there without thinking about it. That is right up his alley. It's not like he's one of the greatest pitchers of all time, but it's not like he's one of the great thinkers of our time.
I loved him as a pitcher because of his competitiveness was just amazing. And obviously his skill was amazing. He is probably one of the worst studio talking heads ever. He's like one of those people that just tries to think of a gotcha or think of something brilliant to say in the moment. And kind of when he says it, he kind of, you know, his chest puffs and his eyes open and he's like, wasn't that good? It comes out off to me as very uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable.
Maybe he was running the Marlins Twitter account.
I love him. He's one of those people that, you know, you kind of like, you want him around because he's who he is. He's a legend.
Yeah.
But he doesn't add a lot of value in the studio.
No.
His studio analysis is nothing brilliant.
Yeah.
I'm not saying take him off the air. It's just one of those guys that you're just kind of like, oh, let's see what Pedro says tonight.
Right.
I thought this was a funny one too. Another, you know, the Yankees who have been beating the snot out of everybody all year long, took it on the chin against the Indians last week, gave up 15-3 or 19-3 or something like that. And Aaron Boone comes out saying, like, yeah, I think we should explore the mercy rule. They do it in Little League. You know, it's kind of like, whoa, really? You know, fans are going to, you know, jump to that and be like, yeah, I'm cool with my team getting pummeled in the first three innings and, oh, the game's over after five. That ain't going to happen. It's just that's yeah. I think that's a silly thing to say.
I think it's an absolutely stupid thing to say.
Yeah.
I think that talking about a mercy, like, look, man, like this is basically in response to like position players having to pitch. And like, I get it. It sucks. No one really wants to see it, though some people do kind of like to see it because it's kind of interesting, especially when they do well, right?
Right. What's in your team doing the pummeling? It's fun.
Well, even when you're the team, it's like, oh, look, there's, you know, Christian Vasquez is out on the mound right. for the Red Sox throwing a couple
Let's
pitches.
I'm
into this.
Yeah.
Like, we've already lost the game down by 11 with, you know, two innings to go. Yeah, why not? But then Alex Cora chimed in with some ideas that were like, if you use a position player, then you have to use a position player the next game or something. Like, it was like one rule was like, if you use a position player to pitch, then your players can't swing the bat from that point on.
Hmm.
And I was like, wait, what? Okay.
Let's make it more complicated.
Like, no, yeah, how about this? I mean, how about you just use a position player?
Baseball purity is a good thing. Yeah. Let's baseball is like, doesn't need rule changes. It doesn't need to change the height of the pitcher's mound or move it back. We don't need all of these. Baseball is pure. Leave it be. Let it evolve.
But
you know,
what if
instead on the field? Jeez.
10-run home run barrels. We put them in the outfield. Whenever the lead gets to 10 runs, we put the 10-run home run barrels in the outfield. And if you can hit a ball into one of the 10-run home run barrels, it's not even out of the park. It's in the park, but it's still a 10-run home run in the park.
Yeah. You get to run around the bases 10 times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about this? How about,
although I still do like
our, how about if you hit a home run, I got a new rule. If you hit a home run, if the lead is 10 or more, if you hit a home run out of the park, you can run around the bases at once and you can go for a second time and all the runners on base can go for a second time until the fan throws the ball back into the outfield from the outfield. Then once it's back in play, you can either stop at a safe base or continue to score. If the fan doesn't throw the ball back in, these are all better ideas than what Aaron Boone and Alex Cora came up with, by the way.
Yeah,
if the fan doesn't throw the ball in, then you can only round the bases three times. So then you get fights in the stands, right? And then it escalates the excitement of the game because then there'll be people holding onto the ball like, no, my team is going to score 8 runs on this one. I'm going to hold onto the ball. I'm going to hold it in. And then the other fans will be like pummeling him. Let go of the ball. Let go of the ball. Yeah. We're talking about fan interaction here, John.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Did you by any chance see the video that compared a Bryce Harper home run trot to a Reese Hoskins home run trot?
No.
Bryce Harper could have made it to third a second time by the time Reese Hoskins crossed home plate. That's crazy.
Wait, so which one was hustling? Harper?
Harper. Harper could have gone around the bases once and made it all the way to third by the time Hoskins hit home plate.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was...
Reese Hoskins, the former left fielder of the Phillies?
Yeah.
This is the guy they were like, we'll just put him in left field. Yeah. What could possibly go wrong?
Yeah, good defense. Good defensive structure for that ball club.
Might be a wild card team, though. They're like a game out, right?
Yeah, they're still.
Of course, everybody's a game out. John, I'm a game out of
the
wild card.
We all have a chance. Everybody has a chance this season. The Reds still have a chance. Well, not really, but they do.
The Reds still have a chance. If they can go 6 of 7,
they could be that team. They could be the Rockies of your 2007 or the Brewers of last year.
Yeah, that guy, their new guy, Aquino. Holy moly.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just he's playing softball.
These rockets are shooting, like, these are all, like, no doubt about, like, 450-foot home runs. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I love it.
So the thing here is that he is on pace, if he was to play a whole season, to hit over 100 home runs.
Yes.
Which is that's a lot of dingers.
He had a 10 at bat break between home runs recently, which was just
people,
shocking.
Yeah. They can't keep up that pace, but it definitely is fun to watch. you know, continue on the home run binge here for a little bit. Dodgers set a Major League Baseball record for 22 home runs in 5 games.
Amazing.
Pete Alonso sets the NL rookie mark with 40 home runs, and he will likely hit more than 50 and potentially break the all-time rookie home run record that Aaron Judge sent a few years back. So, yeah, the balls are flying out of the park.
I think the balls are juiced, John.
Yeah, I think there's something going on there. You know, Pedro may be onto something. So a little bit of sad news for Padres fans, and I think anybody who is enjoying a breakout season for Fernando Tatis, he's done for the season with back issues, and that's never a good sign when you have back issues early in your career.
Especially someone so young. Like,
yeah.
He's 20 or whatever, but he was, like, amazing this year.
Yeah, defense,
home
speed,
runs,
power.
Yeah,
yeah.
Stolen bases, fantasy.
And you got to love the hair.
And, like, he was a late-round pick. Mm-hmm. For fantasy picks, he's just like boosting everybody's team. And then even with the injuries that he got, I think he played like in a half a season's worth of games. He had like an almost 4 wins above replacement.
Yeah.
Like
be exciting
that's
to see
that's
what
Troutian
happens next year. Yeah. Yeah. That's almost what's his name? Aquinoian.
More stolen bases than Aquinoian.
Yeah. Yeah. That's Aquinoian, for sure. Yeah. For sure. So another, I mean, this is a pretty significant, although Sandy Koufax retired early, Clayton Kershaw passes him for wins. And is that all-time wins?
Yeah.
All-time wins. So Koufax held the record
to...
for all-time. Right? Okay. Yeah, I'm not a Dodger fan. I don't know all those statistics for the Dodgers.
But I mean, what do you mean all-time? Like, you mean as opposed to single season?
No, I didn't know if Koufax was the all-time leader for the Dodgers.
Oh, I see. Yeah, no, he's not, right? No, I think... who is the all-time? Is it Sutton that's the all-time
Dodgers?
Yeah,
probably Sutton. Yeah, he's but he only played.
I think Koufax is the all-time lefty Dodger.
Okay. Now I get it. Yeah, because I was thinking like Koufax didn't play that long. He only played like 10 seasons. So, but he racked him up for sure.
He sure did.
What else we got here? We got a long list. Oh, this was an awesome moment for Carlos Carrasco the other night. Came in, pitched an inning. Struck out a batter. It just was like the feel-good story of the year that somebody diagnosed with a form of leukemia earlier this season is, you know, it's just crazy that we're even talking about he's coming back to play and making an effort to get back this season, you know, to the bullpen for the Indians. And, wow, yeah, it was a pretty, you know, emotional to see that and the reaction of the crowd, standing ovation, players from opposing teams patting him on the back, coaches patting him on the back. It was just really awesome to see.
Yeah, well, that was such a surprise when he started fading out early in the season, and they were just like, well, what's going on here? And then I guess they found out it was leukemia, and they've been able to treat it essentially in 3 months, and he's back up and running. It's really incredible.
Yeah, that's
you know,
great.
Testament to... you know, modern medicine and whatever, but also getting it sorted out early on. And it's a great, I mean, the Indians would be happy to have him back. It could be one of those emotional things that pushes the team.
Yeah. We're doing it.
Because when you have teams that are all this good, right? The Indians and the Astros and the Yankees, sometimes it's a little thing like that, little thing that's not in the statistics.
Emotional push, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm sure there's a joke in this next one. I'm hoping there is. Albert Pujols sets the MLB record for most hits by a foreign-born player. He passed Adrian Beltre, right?
That's right.
He held that title
he
for
took
very
that
away short,
from Adrian.
Very
yes.
short time. Is there a joke?
Not Pujols? Particularly, no. I just think it's kind of a cool accomplishment. Everyone, for lack of a word, poops on Albert Pujols for his terrible contract and being basically
terrible
zero wins above replacement.
The organization,
player.
Awesome for Albert.
Yeah. But, you know, he just keeps racking up the numbers, and unfortunately he's not racking up the wins above replacement because his on-base percentage. And it's so weird, too, because, like, when players get old, they tend to keep their eye but lose the ability to make contact. But his ability to make contact is a little bit worse, but his eye is crap. And, his hard hit percentage is much lower. But I tried to get a hashtag going on Twitter for Pujols hits, but when you run it all together like that, it looks like something else. It looks like Pujol.
Oh, I got you.
The S Pujols goes over with hits. The H. And then it's like, oh, Pujol shits. Oh, okay. Yeah. Pujol shits.
Didn't catch on?
Didn't catch on the way I was hoping it would, John.
Okay. Well, give it another try. Got to find the right photo.
Really, it's just about the bacteria in your system.
So a little political / baseball news. The Major League Baseball is banned playing in Venezuela. Is that due to something Trump said or just sporting?
Yeah, they did an economic sanction against Venezuela. And I mean, I guess somebody might have wanted to go. I wouldn't want to go down there. They're having a lot of trouble down in Venezuela. So maybe this is kind of like doing everybody a little bit of a favor.
To me, it's like stating the obvious.
Yeah, like, hey, maybe we don't want to go down there.
We're taking a stance here. It's like, really?
So they're following the economic sanctions against Venezuela, and minor league and major league baseball players are not allowed to go play in the Venezuelan summer league. The Venezuela winter league, right? Which is their summer.
Okay, so tell me about this next one, because I have no frame of reference for it at all. The Astros were stunned in a historic upset at sports books. What happened?
The Astros lost with Verlander pitching. They lost to the Tigers.
Oh.
And the number was like crazy, like -600 to win.
Wow.
So you're like, oh, this is going to be an easy win. I'll just drop $600 on this game and I'll win myself $100. No problem. Whatever. I'll just take it. Sometimes you just got to pad your account. Nope.
Wow.
The Tigers won.
So this is one of those rare moments where the book, sports books gloat a little bit. Because they make a little bit of money.
No,
it's the other way around. Yeah, you're right. No, right.
I don't know. I don't know how the money was bet on the game, but it just like it was such a bizarre. Like the odds were so, they just,
stacked.
It hasn't been that, it's been like 20 years since there's been that big of a line where the team lost. Yeah.
And is that why the next item is on the list?
Well, this is a weird thing, right? So after that game.
Okay.
After that game, the Astros did not let someone from the Detroit Free Press into the clubhouse for Justin Verlander's sort of like a little gaggle, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then once the gaggle was over, they let the guy in. Apparently, Justin Verlander has an issue with this one reporter from the Detroit Free Press. I don't know what it was, but Verlander referenced it in a tweet about like his unethical behavior in the past or something. Yeah. So I don't know what that means, but some people are all like, oh, you can't block the press from going to the... And I'm like, hold on a second. If the press is being a jerk, absolutely you can block them. This isn't the government.
Right.
These aren't public officials. Like, if this guy's a jerk and Justin Verlander doesn't want to talk to him, that has every right.
Yeah.
He's a $30 million player. Here's what you do. You do what the $30 million player tells you want him to do.
Right. I remember, watching the baseball documentary, the Ken Burns documentary. One of the things that they talked about in there was, back in the day, before we were going out to California, St. Louis is as far west as we went. All of reporters traveled, the beat reporters traveled in the trains with the players. They were constantly with them. They hung out with them. They went and had drinks afterwards with them. They protected their stories. They knew what was going on behind the scenes. Their job was to glamorize the players so that people would read the articles about their mythical legendary status, not to undermine them. So, the press's role back then was to foster the game and protect the players. And now they're out to, bring them down. There's a different element there.
Well, everyone wants the clicks, right? Everyone wants the retweets and the faves.
We're in a different world in
the
news, in all news media, because it's all about the headline that gets the most attention, and that shouldn't be that way. But yeah, that's the world we live in. So on the home run side, the Orioles claimed the dubious record of allowing the 259th home run of the year, which is an all-time high.
All-time high. Most home runs ever given up by a team.
And 13 of them belong to Gleyber Torres, right?
Yes, that's right. Here's the craziest part about this record. John, there's still 5 weeks left in the season.
They're gonna give up over 300 home runs.
I mean,
That's crazy.
Look, I like all the home runs, but I think when we're done with this year, I think we're all going to look back and be like, oh, okay, maybe that was too many.
Right.
But you know what? That was too many home runs.
Yeah.
Like right. I had a fantasy baseball team, one of my better ones, had 2 days in a row with 10 home runs.
That's crazy.
From the team.
Yeah.
With multiple players having multiple home runs. Like it's very video game-ish. So look, I don't know what it's doing with the fans, and if it's bringing in more fans, then I'll take one for the team. But I think it might be too many home runs, John.
Okay, let's kind of whistle through these last few here. The court says the Orioles owe the Nationals a boatload of money for TV rights. This has been, I know they've been battling this out for years in the court.
Basically, since the Nationals moved to Washington from Montreal, they've been battling over who gets what money and for what. And the courts decided that the Orioles surprisingly cheaped out and actually now owe the Nationals $100 million. So they owe it. Maybe they could just give them Chris Davis. Oh, no, well, that would be a debt.
So he's been benched. Way. That's another story for another day. Not shockingly, you know, the most expensive player, one of the most expensive players in baseball, the most expensive, unproductive player in baseball is now riding the pine. I think he's surpassed, what's his name with the Yankees? That hasn't played in
Ellsbury?
Ellsbury, yeah.
Well, that's because Chris Davis is a negative player.
Yeah.
Like Ellsbury is a zero as long as he's not playing.
Not playing, yeah. He's not hurting Amazing. Nor helping, just expensive.
Yeah.
Let's see. This is a bizarre one. A Braves fan arrested for attempting to bring cocaine in a cowboy boot to the ball game. You know,
now,
let me see if I can get this one.
This may have been for Carrot Top. I don't know.
So, yeah, a cowboy boot. Cocaine story. That's one for the
ages. I assuming he was wearing the cowboy boot, right?
I hope so, and not just carrying it. And they're like, can you put that through the screening process so we can see what's in your boot? But I don't
now
know.
Look, obviously this is illegal, right? Like,
sure,
bringing cocaine to a ballpark, cocaine itself is illegal.
Yeah, you can
but
get
I
that
gotta
inside
say,
right?
For some people baseball just is a little too slow, but imagine watching baseball while on cocaine.
It would be
might
agitating,
improve the game.
Right?
Might improve the game. Might improve viewership. Maybe if MLB can find a way to give everybody cocaine.
Oh, there we go. That'll improve the camaraderie in the stadium.
Yeah.
There'll be a lot more talking.
For the Mets.
For sure.
Didn't the Mets win the World Series in 86?
Yeah,
half the guys on that team were coked out of their minds.
See? The prescription for success. And that led to the steroid era, which led to the launch angle era, whatever.
Hey, so, and speaking of steroid era.
Oh, yeah, this one. Yeah.
Next story is
this will get a rise out of players for sure, you know, or not
yes,
a rise
John.
Out of players.
Yes.
MLB is reporting that there's a new PED threat and it's from sexual enhancement pills. You're just run-of-the-mill.
Yes.
You know, the ones that you can get in a vending machine, in a gas station washroom.
Yes.
For a quarter or 50 cents or whatever they are.
And really, if you're going to be taking a medicine, don't you want to get the best medicine you can get at a gas station?
Sure. Those are the best.
Sure. Why not? I mean, literally, John, what's the worst that can happen other than accidental overdose or any sort of like tainting of the material? Or I mean, other than all of the horrible things that can happen, what's the worst that can happen?
Yeah, it's just.
Well, it turns out you can test positive for steroids.
And just imagine the player's defense is going to be, well, I was driving down 95 and I was meeting up with my hookup. And I stopped in the gas station. I made a poor decision and I bought some, you know, XYZ, you know, in the bathroom. My apologies.
Or worse, a yard lizard, right? They're not even like going to pick up. They're just meeting a girl in the truck yard at the gas station. At the truck stop.
I've never heard
of that. Pop a couple pills, go wait in their car. Yard lizard comes along. $5 later, boom.
All good. Yeah.
That's like an $8 transaction all told. That's not bad, John. That's good economics.
That is good economics. You know, as long as you close your eyes, I think.
Yeah, but also, you know, there's the STD thing, which can become expensive.
Right, the STD thing and the potential PED suspension.
But let's say you're Ryan Braun and you already have herpes, right?
Right.
Why not?
Ooh.
Why not, allegedly? Why not go down to a truck yard, get a yard lizard, get a boner pill, $8 you're in,
all good.
$8 you're out, boom.
And last but not least in the headlines, Yasiel Puig has become a U.S. citizen.
And I don't know if Yasiel Puig knows what he's doing here, because as far as I'm being told by the media, the United States is a very dangerous place to live and maybe the most dangerous in the world.
Yeah.
And we good for him. He's one of my favorite players. He's been hitting the crap out of the ball since he went to the Indians. He's such an exciting player. I know he talks too much and he's brash and he shouldn't lick baseball bats. Hey, we all have our addictions, okay? Some of us are carrot top and we're snorting coke off of strippers.
Right. We all have our yard
lizards. Some of us are carrying our cocaine in our cowboy boots. Some of us lick baseball bats.
Yeah. He's
some of us go to yard lizards with Ryan Braun and like, hey.
Hang out.
It's $8 in and out. Whatever. I love Yasiel Puig. I've always loved him. The fact that Zach Greinke thinks he's a jerk makes me dislike Zach Greinke, and I think Zach Greinke's a jerk. And I don't care what all the stuffy writers say on the interwebs because, oh, he's so intellectual and he's so blah, blah, blah. Zach Greinke sounds like a jerk. Yasiel Puig sounds like an absolute treat to be around. And yeah, he's late for team meetings. And so what?
He's a throwback, you know, from that point of
view. I don't know. Like, just get over it.
Yeah.
Takes all sorts. It's baseball, people. And you know what? It's America. And now Puig is a citizen. Welcome to the country, Puig.
So, we've made it to the starting nine segment, but this is in honor of the Little League World Series, is it this weekend, championship weekend?
That's right. This weekend is championship weekend.
Okay. Nine players with movies starring little people names. So, this is an interesting combination. I'm looking forward to it.
Okay. So, very simple. Movie starring little people combined with... Because there's a lot of little people at the Little League World Series, though they're just children. But these are the little people that are formerly known as dwarves and whatnot. Though I guess technically, sciencely, they're still dwarves. But whatever,
vertically
little
challenged.
People is what they're called. You know what, John, it's just disrespectful at this point. We're going to be so disrespectful going through this that we might as well just, let's spread it out a little bit. All right, so movie starring little people... combined with Major League Baseball player names. First up, Time Anderson Bandits.
Okay.
Or I guess I could do Time Bandertsons.
I like that one better. Yeah. Actually sounds like a character.
Yeah. So that's Tim Anderson and Time Bandits. Time Bandits, one of the great little people movies of all time. Next one, very underrated film, or maybe properly rated. Under the Robbie Rainbow. Robbie Ray, Under the Rainbow. I don't know if you remember that one, but I remember the line, one. The pearl is in the river.
I don't remember seeing it.
It was like a secret code word was the pearl is in the river.
Is that anyway. code for Ryan Braun going to see a yard lizard?
Allegedly. Allegedly, John.
Okay.
The next one is The Max Stacy Agent.
Okay, yeah.
The station agent, right?
Peter, what's his name?
Dinklage.
Yeah, the Dinklage.
Yeah. A little bit before Dinklage's time, The Wizard of Ozzy Albies.
Several little people.
Several. They represent the Lollipop Guild.
They did. Quite well.
Michael Imbruso.
What is that?
Michael Imbruso. He's a new player, but Imbruge.
Okay. I don't remember little people.
There's a little person in that featured somewhat prominently.
Okay. I don't remember that.
Yeah.
I did like that movie. Really good.
He dies at the end. The little person dies at the end.
God, I don't remember that.
Yeah, Ralph Fiennes kills him. Spoiler alert. Sorry. Anyway, great movie. Great movie. All right. Next one. Return of the Jed Lowry.
Very good. Yeah.
Return of the Jedi. Ewoks, right? Sure. R2-D2. Mm-hmm. That's a little person.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then also Yoda.
Yes, Yoda is probably the most famous little person ever.
Maybe the most famous little person ever. My dog agrees. next one, Willow Renzo Kane.
Yes, yeah. Indeed.
Kevin Foul Play Wiki. Kevin Plawicki, Foul Play. Billy Barty in that one. Command Performance, supporting character. One of my favorite supporting characters of all time in that movie. The Spy, Jose Shagged Altuve.
That's a good one.
That's a double there because it's Jose Altuve, who's also a little person.
Okay.
And last but not least, Willy Adames Wonka and the G-Man Choiclet Factory.
This one sounded like you had some fun with it.
Yeah, that was good.
That was a good one. Yeah.
I'm not going to lie, John. I'm a fan of little people.
Well, that's good. Do you watch those shows?
Yeah.
The reality shows?
Oh, God, no. That's no, not the reality shows.
No, just the movies.
My personal favorite, though, I will say, is when you have a little person in the film and they're just playing a role that could have been another person.
Right.
It's a very interesting dynamic to add to a character.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, Game of Thrones, like that, the Dinklage character, it's part of who he is in that, but most of it is he could have been had some other, you know, birth. I don't want to say birth defect, but he could have had some other thing.
Missing an arm.
Made him an outcast. Right. Yeah.
Right. Elephant Man.
Yeah.
Mask. One of those things, you know. Could have made him, you know, whatever. So what's coming up next?
Tune in to find out when we're doing our next podcast on the Don't Hold Your Breath show.